I'm pleased to introduce Bishop Raymond Schultz, who for a number of years was the national bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada and also served on the Lutheran World Federation, chairing their commission on church renewal. And I'm delighted he's here and going to speak with us today. So, Bishop Schultz.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here and to have this opportunity to engage in an area that I have had a great interest in and in which I have encouraged the church to be more engaged, but with which I have not so much personal experience, so this becomes a great opportunity for me. The Christian churches in the global north have experienced a continuing decline in membership and participation. The decline in church participation in Canada is due to complex social, historical, economic, and political factors. Most Lutheran churches were established by European immigrants. I think it's fair to say that many Lutheran churches in Canada were so preoccupied with their own cultural and ethnic survival that they became insulated from the wider society. However, those generations who were born in Canada became educated, began to acquire a portion of the country's growing wealth. They looked less and less to the church as a place of support and cultural identity, and they had far fewer children than previous generations. I discovered after 9 years as a regional and national bishop that many of the forces that impact the church are beyond its control. I began to refer to an ancient image of the church, that of a sailing ship, as a metaphor to describe the situation. I explained that the crew of the ship is responsible for navigating, but it doesn't control the wind or the waves. Sometimes currents take you where you do not wish to go. My conclusion was that history gives and history takes away. We sail on a sea of fluid history. Nothing ever remains permanent, not even the coastline of the continents we left behind. My tradition teaches that all human beings are equally children of God. When I look for life-giving signs, I look for those attitudes and actions that recognize God in every face, that recognize each person as being equally a neighbor. Martin Luther believed that there were three orders of creation, each equally established by God. And those three orders were the family, the church, and society. The vocation of a Christian was to be exercised equally in each sphere. That's why Luther requested his prince to instate universal free education for both boys and girls in their own language. Luther himself translated the Bible into German so that all people could read it for themselves. Lutherans affirm that salvation is by God's grace, that God's love is simply the willingness to meet the needs of the other. It doesn't require the other to qualify or to be conforming or righteous or even religious. Therefore, a life-giving sign is that the vision and commitment that always was part of the Lutheran tradition continues to express itself in public life. In other words, life in the reign of God cannot be expressed apart from life in home and in society. When I once lamented to my son that none of my children had pursued higher education and no longer participated in the formal life of the church, he replied that there was more of myself in him than I thought. He's my firstborn, the grandfather of my first great-grandson. My youngest child, an adopted daughter, echoes those same sentiments. Our children grew up in a multicultural society where no distinctions were made on the basis of skin color, language, or parental tradition. Our children do not refer to Africans or Chinese people as separate races. We all are simply human beings. Our children believe there is enough room in life for people to be distinct without being defined as alien. What matters to my children is the character of the people they meet. They value honesty, cooperation, neighborliness, generosity, fairness, and friendship. They respect other religious traditions, but they will ask the same critical questions about them that they ask about their own. The critical questions are not meant to denigrate, but simply to reflect the way that they look for truth. They see other people as individuals whose value is measured by the way they share life with others. My children have taught me to see what the outcomes of a life-giving faith can contain for the good of society. With that assurance, I will list what I see as the ongoing life-giving outcomes of my tradition. Canadian Lutheran World Relief was created to coordinate reception and settlement of European Lutheran displaced persons and refugees who were coming to Canada as a result of two world wars fought in Europe. Although separately incorporated, the agency was virtually an extension of the founding churches. It even contained a confession of faith in its constitution. Its purpose was to take care of Lutherans. A life-giving sign to me is that the agency has continued to develop beyond its Lutheran roots and has grown into a considerable non-governmental agency that provides international relief and coordinates development projects in dozens of countries in cooperation with the Government of Canada, the Lutheran World Federation, and ACT International, a multi-church response to global emergencies. The agency continues to operate two national offices facilitating refugee and immigrant sponsorships, and regardless of the religious affiliation or lack thereof of the claimants. With CLWR's assistance, one of our congregations is currently providing sanctuary for a Russian immigrant who is threatened with expulsion, even though the rest of his family is considered legitimate. CLWR has been a major source of education and awareness building among Canadian Lutherans and uses its resources to provide internships and impressive volunteer programs for persons who wish to become more engaged in international relief activities. All of that for less than a 10% margin of administrative overhead. Lutherans in Canada developed their own schools to promote higher education among their youth. Several of those schools now operate as universities or university colleges. Two of the schools, Wilfrid Laurier in Ontario and Augustana in Alberta, have become part of the provincial education system. Nevertheless, several of the values embedded in Augustana University College were guaranteed when the school became a campus of the University of Alberta. The university recognized that the Lutheran model of campus ministry was concerned with developing the full humanity of both faculty and students. So rather than focusing exclusively on religious counseling, it was retained as a guarantee of religious equality within the faculty. More significant was the establishment of the Ronning Center for the Study of Religion and Public Life. Chester Ronning, after whom the center is named, was an esteemed member of Canada's diplomatic corps, an active participant in Canadian politics, and one of the founders and principals of the school. The United States recruited him to assist with peace talks in Vietnam in 1966. Most Lutheran students in Canada do not attend church schools, however. They study at the secular universities. Lutheran Campus Ministry supports Lutheran chaplains who have resided on those campuses to provide community and a climate of reflection to students. For some, the program is seen as a way to protect the church's youth from secular forces that might dissuade them from the Christian faith. However, the more powerful impact of the ministry is that it assists youth to become more fully engaged with the whole of society. Many students experience cognitive shock when they try to relate their religious upbringing to their studies and social experiences. Campus ministers act as integrative facilitators. Institutions for the care of seniors and other dependent persons were begun by Lutheran benefactors as a means of providing for their own people. However, as the societal need for such institutions increased, those institutions also began to expand, offering land and management services as equity. Lutheran healthcare institutions formed partnerships with provincial governments to construct and operate extended care and supportive living centers. These institutions do not exist to serve Lutherans only. Lutherans must place their names on waiting lists, just like any other eligible resident of Canada who qualifies for those services. Life fully lived is life lived for the other. Our church's banner is In Mission for Others. The Lutheran Church in Canada officially renounced the anti-Jewish remarks found in Martin Luther's writings. In spite of the high esteem in which Martin Luther is held, he is a historical figure, the subject of his historical context. Luther was voicing the popular opinion of his time, but the context of the present time reveals his remarks to have been an error, and that they were used to rationalize an anti-Jewish ideology of hatred. Lutherans and Roman Catholics have adopted a common declaration regarding the doctrine of justification. And while there are variations of understanding between the two churches, both bodies agreed that the historic anathemas that were pronounced during the Reformation no longer apply. Neither church today is what it once was. And Lutherans formally apologized to the global Mennonite community for the persecution and murders of Anabaptists during the century following the Reformation of the 16th century. Now, these are acts of religious symbolism. They undo old teachings whose error and injustice have been informally acknowledged for a long time and no longer reflect the practices of the church. They are significant as life-giving signs, however, because they portray a change in the way that we have come to understand the context of others. The ancient historical patterns of ongoing aggression and retribution are reversed in order that mutual understanding and respectful dialogue can lead to a new process of peacemaking. Around the same time as the United Nations was being formed, European and American Lutherans, whose countries had been enemies during World War II, came together to form the Lutheran World Federation. What began as a cautious, even suspicious dialogue developed into shared communion among those churches. The Federation began as a European and American activity. However, missionary activity in the 19th century had started churches all over Africa, Asia, and Latin America. As those churches from the global south grew and developed an organization, they too applied for membership. As equal members, they challenged the communion to open itself to unfamiliar contexts of politics, culture, and religious expression. As a result, mission strategies shifted toward a holistic approach of service and mutual accountability. Development programs were aimed at partnership, capacity building, and self-sustainability. Schools and medical facilities were built, and funds were raised to support community-based organizations for economic development. The voices of women and youth were recognized as legitimate in their own right. Global justice, sustainable economics, and stewardship of creation became permanent items on the communion's agenda. Ecumenical initiatives opened the way to dialogue with other religions. New contemporary religious expressions were recognized as legitimate partners in dialogue. There was a time when belonging to the church was one of the signs of responsible citizenship in Canada. It was a value that supported what was then a more parochial nation. The church represented morality and continuity of the social order. However, as churches became more engaged with issues related to those who are marginalized and poor, they pointed out that some social conditions are the result of the nation's own socio-economic and political systems. The social and political order creates opportunities for some in a way that disenfranchises others. As churches critiqued political and economic policy, they came to be seen as either adversaries or allies, depending on whether their opinions were supportive or critical of the current government. A current case in point is Kairos, an ecumenical justice initiatives organization. A top-level political decision was made to alter a contract with the Canadian International Development Agency known as CEDA to deny a funding agreement that had already been signed by all parties. The publicly stated reason was that Kairos is anti-Semitic, an unfounded allegation used by politicians because of the agency's support for Palestinian projects. However, the more likely reason is that Kairos has actively researched Canadian corporate practices in other countries and revealed some shocking facts. Kairos advocates strongly for Aboriginal land rights and keeps a close watch on how economic conditions are reported. Because of the agency's advocacy and educational activities in Canada, it's been accused of political partisanship. Civil action based on life for others always is risky and complicated due to the interplay of government, business, and globalizing forces. There is seldom only one right way. Sometimes there is no way that is completely right for anyone. That is why faith-based civil action cannot become fixed. It always must seek new understandings, new partnerships, and take responsibility when blindness of the past proves unjust. I appreciate that my religious tradition upholds this insight at the cost of offending those who demand sacred truths and absolute assurances. I must confess one of my sins, and that is that I sometimes take the worship tradition of my church for granted. But our daughter, who has chosen a different path, listens carefully when she accompanies us. At one point in our Sunday liturgy, we engage in an extended prayer for the whole people of God and all those in need. After one such service, our daughter exclaimed, "Dad, those prayers you pray for everyone." Those are the seeds of civil life we have planted through our religious tradition. So let me end this with some lyrics from the Broadway musical Godspell. We plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So thank the Lord, oh, thank the Lord for all his love.
Thank you.